Amen. Okay, we're going to be in Luke 9 today. Well, this morning. Luke 9. Luke 9, and we're going to start in verse 28. Luke 9, 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with them were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And today we get to talk about the transfiguration here. And that's what's going on. And transfigure just means a change in appearance that comes from within. And this is it's a great passage. And it's Jesus transfigured. You know, he had that change from within. It was something in his appearance that changed. And they were just in awe. They didn't really know what to think, what to say. But this is, one of the greatest moments as Jesus was here on earth. He's sitting there with Moses, with Elias, and they're just talking, you know, and obviously they're praying. They're probably ministering to Jesus a little bit. But notice how Jesus is just transformed in this action. He's got two men there, the two witnesses, which there's a lot of biblical proof for that it's Moses and Elias that you have right here. But they're sitting there and they're praying. They're all praying, right? I mean, the Lord, Jesus was here. He was always praying, and he was always doing that. And this is what you have here, and probably one of the greatest prayers there was, outside of him teaching us how to pray and actually praying for us in John 17. But notice as they're all together and they're praying and stuff, he's getting transformed, because prayer can transform you. It can transform your life. It can transform who you are. And these are things that we want to try to look at as we go forward in our walk with Christ. We want to have that transforming prayer and all this. But he was transfigured to what? To show his glory. This is what Jesus was when he was there. It was, as they're sitting there and they're like, oh, wow, his countenance changed. It was because he was showing himself in glory. And that had to have such a profound effect on those three men that were there. Just to see this, to see somebody change that way. To see them all in his glory. I mean, you have Moses there back who asked to see who he was. And he says, you can look at me from the back, because you couldn't see it. And now Moses is there, and he's seeing the full glory. I mean, imagine how that would be. These three men seeing this, knowing what was in Scripture, and just the whole power of his glory just shining through. And we don't really see this glory and shining through again until after his resurrection. And then that's where people start seeing his fully changed self. He's into what he's going to be, where he's going to go and take the seat at the right hand of the Father. But the thing with this is, when he shines his glory, it's a seal of approval for God. It's a seal of approval for Peter. If you turn over to Matthew 16:16, we got time. Just a little short verse. But Matthew 16:16 says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is the seal of approval. This is his countenance changed. He was in his glory right there. He was shining. And that, you know, Peter gets to see this. That is like a affirmation of this truly is the Son of God. This is him here. But it's a seal of approval. It's God going, hey, this is my son. This is the Christ. This is who has come for you, has come to save you guys from your sins. If you turn over to John 1, let's see. John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This is what they're seeing. They're seeing the world in the flesh, the Word in the flesh. They're seeing the glory that was revealed, the purpose behind who Christ was, and what he was about to do, and what he would do for them. But they could have... But just to be there, to see that change, I mean, we can only imagine what that would be. Just to see him in that full glory that we get to see one day, that we will get to see one day. But his glorious appearance you could find in, if you turn over to Acts 9, you can see it in Acts 9. Acts 9 and verse 3, and it says, "And he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." Now this is Paul, or Saul at the time, but this is it. He gets to see that glory, the glory that shining afterwards. If you turn over to Revelation... Revelation 1, and verse 13, it says, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks are like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of the mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." And here in the passage, we see that his countenance changed, right? And that's the countenance. It's shining as bright as the sun. That's how what he is. I mean, you can go all the way back to Genesis to see that there was light, and there was no sun created at the time. That is the glorious appearance. That's who he is. But it was. It was the confirmation. It was that seal of approval from God. It was that bit of faith that those three men needed at the time to see this, to go forward. It would strengthen their faith. I mean, that was the. That's what the Lord wanted out of it, was to strengthen their faith from this, to see this. It was those three chosen to go up with him. But it was also a glimpse of what was to come. That's what he was truly giving them, a glimpse of what was to come. And that's how they knew that this was truly the Christ and what was gone. If you turn over to Matthew 24... Matthew 24 and verse 30, and it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And this is the future. This is a glimpse of the second advent, of what's going to happen. He's coming back. That's how he's going to be, all in power, and he's going to be here. And what a great day that's going to be. He's going to be here, and he's going to be ruling. But what we can see from Luke here, as we try to learn, he's here with Moses and Elias, verse 30 and 31. "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." Now, what are they talking about? They're talking about his death. Moses and Elias are there talking about his death. And that's what I'm saying. I think they were trying to perhaps minister to him a little bit. He was fully human, but fully God. But you have them. They're talking about his death. They're talking about what's going on. And if Peter, James, and John hadn't been sleeping, they probably could have learned a little bit more. They probably wouldn't have been taken back so much. And seriously, you don't know how it would have worked out. You know, Peter denying the Lord might have not happened. Peter going, "Oh, say it's not so, Lord." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." That conversation might not have took a place, because he would have heard what was coming. He would have heard from Moses and Elias talking about his death, talking about what's going on. And why is Moses and Elias important here? It's important here because they represent the law and the prophets. That's who it is. Moses was the law, Elias was the prophet. And that's what they're representing here. If you turn over to John, let's see here. John 5. Take a couple glimpses and some time on this. John 5 and verse 39. And it says, "Search the scripture, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." Search the scriptures. You have the law, you have the prophet. The law, we find out, is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We find out that the prophets, what did they do? They prophesied about the coming of a Messiah. Now, nobody saw it because they didn't think that he was coming like that, right? Here we got, they're talking about his death, and the apostles miss it. These three men miss it because they don't think he's supposed to come like that. They think he's supposed to come as a king, not realizing that there was a penalty for what mankind has done, and somebody need to pay that price for that. Realizing that they couldn't be fully forgiven if there wasn't a remission for those sins, if there wasn't any bloodshed by Christ. But if you turn over to Matthew 5, in verse 17, it says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Right? And that's where we get where we read John. You think you have life? Search the scriptures, because it's talking about me. And he's saying, you don't have life. You don't have this life because you won't come to me. You won't seek me out. You don't want to believe this. But this is what the law and the prophets were all building up to. They were a foreshadowing of Christ. They were a foreshadowing of him in his glory, which is what these three men get to see as they're on top of the mountain. They get to see this glorious appearance of Christ in glory, in glory. I mean, that has to be one of the most awe-inspiring things ever, just to see that, to see him shining the way he is, to see him as bright as the sun. I mean, again, you gotta point back to Genesis, where there was light and there was no sun. And it's just, it really is. This is, I mean, I can't imagine how it would have been being there, seeing these things. And again, I know people want to get, tough on the, the apostles, and James and Peter and John, they were sleeping, and it's the same people, right? It's the same people sleeping in the garden. Same people. And if we can learn anything from that, it's that God will put you through it again if you don't learn the first time. I mean, if we can learn anything, it's going to happen again. And it's not to hurt you, it's to say, hey. Sometimes it's, hey, are you serious about me? Did you mean what you said? Do you really want to be a part of my life? Do you really want to serve me? Do you really want to worship me in truth? And there we go. But these guys are, they're sleeping, and you shouldn't be, like I said, you shouldn't be that hard on them. I mean, let's be honest. That's our whole Christian walk. We keep falling asleep. Every one of us, we're guilty of that. And then we wake up and we see, right? We see Christ for who he is, and we go, okay, all right, I gotta get back on. I gotta get back on track. I gotta do something. Right? Pastor Kenny's New Year's message. I mean, go in. Just continue. Just keep pushing on. But Moses and Elias were there because that was. It was the law, and it was the prophets. That's what they were representing. And it was Jesus standing there as the fulfillment of it, shining bright, shining in his glory. Everything that you see somewhere in that Bible will point to Jesus Christ. It'll point to the Messiah. You can find it anywhere. It's the honor. It's his glory. It's who he is. Now, here we get Peter speaking. And again, don't be too hard on him, but Peter and they that were with him with heavy were asleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he had said. And here we have it. Peter wakes up. He's like, what is going on here? I mean, this is like, I don't know what to do. If you turn over to Mark 9, and we can see something else about while they're up there. Mark 9 and verse 6. We'll start in verse 5, just so you get it. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And let's be honest, I mean, the Bible has fear not throughout it, but how we are is we get afraid. And when we get afraid, we do stupid things. That's probably why he puts it in there, because he knows we're going to do something. And I'm not getting down on Peter, but that, you know. Now, here you have God in his glory. You have Jesus in his glory. He's going, hey, let me make you some place to stay. He doesn't need a place to stay. Moses and Elias sure don't need a place to stay. I mean, they're pretty well off where they are right now, and right, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, it's but he says this, and why? Because he doesn't know what to say. He has no clue, and he's afraid. And we could see this through there, right? I mean, as we read through the New Testament and we read through what the apostles do, and any time there was times when Jesus spoke, right, in the garden, he spoke and they fell down. And he wasn't shining in his glory at that moment. He just spoke. I mean, so waking up and seeing who he is and all this, I mean, I honestly don't really know how to explain it where I'll do it justice. I mean, just to see him as he is. I mean, this is what we're all looking forward to, aren't we? I mean, hey, we get to see him one day. We get to see him shining like the sun. We get to be with him. We get to be like John. We get to rest our head on him. I mean, that's something great. And I can't do this justice. I mean, trying to explain how he is in full glory. And this is probably what Peter, he was having a problem. And he was there seeing it, going, ah. And going, oh, man, I'm in trouble now. I mean, that's at least what I would be thinking. I mean, because, you know, at the time there, you know, Christ was still alive. He wasn't dead. I'd be like, man, I'm in trouble. Man, I'm still doing stupid things. But that's basically us in our Christian walk. If we could take something away from that, is we fall asleep, right? I mean, it's that old saying: you're falling asleep at the wheel, and that's what we do. We have everything we need. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, and we fall asleep. And then something jars us. We wake up, and we're like, oh. I mean, isn't that what we end up tending to doing, getting that little bit of fear and go, uh-oh, I better go do something. And sometimes we do the wrong thing because we're just afraid and we go, oh, well, we got to go do something for them, and we do something and not in the right timing or and say something that makes no sense or just do it. But, I mean, there's no reason why these men... Why Jesus would need a tabernacle or anything of that. But just seeing him glorified, seeing how he was there with Moses and Elias, and just going, I can't comprehend that. So he just speaks without thinking, Right, because he didn't know what to say. That's what we read. He didn't know what to say. So, hey, it's, another, right? That's another kind of dumb thing to say. He's sitting there seeing Jesus in all his glory, and he's going, yeah, it's good that you're here. Of course it's good that you're here, right? I mean, that's how it is. It's good that we're all here on a Sunday morning. It's good that we're all here and wanting to learn. I mean, it's always a good thing when you're around Jesus. It is, and these three men get to do it twice at a very particular moment in history where nobody else got to experience. But right, sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth shut. Answer a fool according to his folly. Answer not a fool. I mean, that's, God puts it in there for a reason. Because sometimes we should just, kind of be like, okay. And again, that's what we need to do. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're going to heaven forever. We're going to be with him forever. And sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth shut and let him guide you. And we fall short. But as we go on, we could see that God starts speaking. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." God, he's just saying, hey, right, this is my Son. And he does this when he's baptized. This is my beloved Son. He's trying to let you know that this is who I sent. He is who he says he is. Listen to him. But then again, often, just like Peter, we were just talking about, our first initial thoughts are always carnal. We always think about something physical. We always think about what we can do and not about what God is doing or has done or will do. But God says he wants you. He wants you to listen to him. He doesn't want you to build anything with your hands. He doesn't want you. He wants you to have that relationship. He wants you to have that desire. He doesn't want you to go out and think that you're better. You could build something wonderful, that you can do something wonderful, because we can't. The only reason we do anything wonderful, the only reason we do anything meaningful, is because we allow him to work through us. And when he works through us, that's when people get to see his glory. Right? Because, I mean, we don't want to do the things half the time, and then we do it, and we go, okay. And something wonderful comes out of it. Somebody gets a blessing, or you might even get a blessing. But God works through that. And he's telling you, this is my Son. Believe on him. Believe what he's telling you. Right? Even Jesus, believe me even for the work's sake that I do. Right? You see all these things. You see me working toward, healing and raising the dead and but you still won't believe. You still just won't come and get what you're supposed to get. Let's turn back to John 5 again. I like that. John 5 and verse 39. And it says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. That ye might have life. That's where the life is at. That's what it's a gift of God. There's nothing we can do. We search because what he said, what God has said, what God has promised is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And so many times we want to complicate what God has said to us. And it's as simple as, this is my beloved son. We complicate them and we tend to use passages like, depart from me, for I never knew thee. And the problem with that is, if you go back, the problem is, what are they doing? They're doing all works. And then the other problem with that is, do the will of the Father. And what did Jesus say later in John? This is the will of the Father, to believe on him who has sent me. To believe on him. And we tend to complicate it, and we tend to miss, we just missed the mark. We fall asleep like Peter did. And that's not what he wants. He wants all to come to repentance. And the only way you're going to, anybody is going to come to repentance is by seeing him in his glory, by seeing who he truly is. People can't see him like he was on the mountain now. They can only see him through you. They see him like that and they're in trouble. Because if they're lost, they're in trouble if he's back like that in glory. So the only way they're going to see is through you. It's through me. It's through what we do, our actions. Right? We love charity. It's an action. That's why it's important. Because everybody has the choice to whether they're going to make that action or not. Do you want to do that? Do you want to listen to God? But if we listen to God, this is where we get, right? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And if you turn over to 2 Peter, right, we get things. We listen to God, and we can. So if you turn over to 2 Peter, Second Peter 1, Second Peter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesties, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto do well that ye take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And I'm trying to kind of take this and put it practically for everybody, because again, that's why I'm making such a big thing about Peter, James, and John falling asleep. They did it twice. That's exactly us. We can count on God's word. We have that prophecy. Peter learned. Right? He's right in there. This is what I did. You know how I know I can go? Because everything came true, and I saw him on that mountain in full glory. Yeah, I messed up. I fell asleep. I didn't know what was going on. I woke up. I said some stupid things and I was scared. But you know what? I get it. I get it now. I'm gonna tell people of who he is. Isn't that our purpose? Aren't we ambassadors for Christ? Hey, I get it now. Right? We didn't get it. Then we get the gospel over and over again. We get saved. We go, okay, I get it. Then we go out and tell people. Then we fall asleep. We don't do as much. Then we get into his word again. We come to church. We hear messages. And we go, okay, I get it again. I get, yeah, why did I do that? I fell asleep. I got to get back out and tell people again. God tells us, right, in his word, he tells us to keep watch. Right? We're supposed to stand watch. We're supposed to look for his coming. We're supposed to look for that. Because he's coming in glory. He's coming back again. He's coming back for us. And it doesn't matter if you fell asleep. Doesn't matter if you don't get everything in the Bible. We still have him. He's shining through our glory. He's shining through us, right? And this is what they see. Right? Paul says he wants to know the power of the resurrection. That's the glory right there. That's the shining. This is what these apostles got to see, that the resurrection. They got to see the power of the resurrection. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. And then he raised himself. All these things, and they get to see this moment in history where it is who he truly is. It is who he can't stop being. A good, merciful, loving God. A fair, just God. That's the only way we have a good God, if he's just, if he's fair, if he's good to his word. That's how we have salvation. That's how we know where people are going that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Let's see here. Psalm 138 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If we turn over to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll start right in verse 1. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. God's words. These are things that Peter realized afterwards, that they're important. Whether Old Testament and New Testament, they're important. Just because we're not under the law doesn't mean it's not good, right? Should we still continue in sin? God forbid. And we have to hold tight to God's word. It's the only thing we have. It's the only thing we have. It's the only reason why we look to the sky. Because we know. Again, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We get sealed. And we just need to let Him guide us. We just need to let the Holy Spirit show us what we're supposed to do. But again, one of the practical things we can see as we go down to the last verse, down in verse 36, and it says, "When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen." And I like this. Because in the outline of the stuff that they're doing with the teens and that we're doing over here, I liked what he said here. And what he said in his outline was, notice that it was Jesus alone that they saw. Jesus alone is all we need. And that I like. And from that, you can get one of the most practical applications from Transfiguration. And that is, we are new creatures in Christ. You get saved, you're supposed to be transfigured. Romans 12:2, right? "And be not conformed to this world, but ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have them. We have that power of the resurrection living inside us. We are sealed. But we refuse to be changed is half our problem. Right? What you talked about, transfigure, means a change in appearance that comes from within. It's also what brought forth a lot of modern terms, modern English, like metamorphosis. Change. Change within you. That's what we're supposed to have, that change within us. We're gonna be done right after this verse. But I wanted to end with this verse, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And again, it doesn't matter if we're asleep now, if we've fallen asleep in the past, keep going forward. People need to see Jesus as He truly is. And they only can do that now through us. So if you turn over to 2 Corinthians, read this, and then right. 2 Corinthians 3. In verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And again, that's going through there, that's the practical application I can see, is that Jesus is who He said He is. And we're not always perfect. And we're awfully quick to point other people out. Fall asleep. Wake up. Get scared. But that's not what it's about. It's about the change that's supposed to take place inside you. Why? Because we have Him. You know what He looks like. Well, you know He's glorious in His appearance. You know He shines like the sun. We have some words that describe Him in the Bible, but that's what we're supposed to be. Again, right there in 2 Corinthians 18. Right? Are changed into the same image from glory to glory. We will all have the appearance like Christ. That's, we get new bodies. We get the mind. And what we need to do is just keep looking at Christ and looking at who he is. Because once we stop, that's when we get afraid. That's when we fall asleep, when we stop. And it's easy to get afraid and it's easy to fall asleep. But it's not about what you did do, right? Press towards the mark. It's not about what happened. It's about what you do afterwards. Again, the illustration I can do is what I use with my kids when they get angry or something. And I say, you can be angry. It's okay. But you don't have the right to act that way. There's a difference. And what we choose of how we go forward is what's gonna show Jesus. Do we truly have a Savior that saved us? That's forgiven us? Or are we angry and bitter at him for some odd reason? And if we are, we need to find out what that is and fix it. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you for working in me, in my heart, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you be with the morning service. Lord, you just, anybody comes in lost, Lord, that you would just open their hearts, Lord, and let them know that they're in need of a Savior, Lord. And we thank you so much. We love you, and we just pray that you come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.